I'm reminded of a comic strip named Calvin and Hobbes. For those of you who remember Calvin and Hobbes, it's out of print now, but it was always my favorite comic strip. And for those of you who don't know who Calvin and Hobbes are, it revolves around this boy, Calvin, who's an elementary school kid, age kid, and his imaginary friend, Hobbes. And the comic one that I'm remembering is Calvin is sitting in class, it's probably a math class, and the teacher is saying, "Okay, students, we're coming to the end of the chapter, and I'm wondering, are there any questions that you have before we move on to the next chapter?" And Calvin raises his hand, and he says, "I have a question. What is the meaning of human existence?" And the teacher responds by saying, "I meant any questions about the chapter that we just finished." Well, then Calvin, kind of frustrated, turns to Hobbes and he says, "Well, I would rather get this question resolved first before I move on to the next chapter." You know, when is it that someone gets to the point where they ask that question? What does my life mean? What is the point of my life? Will anyone remember me? Will it have mattered? Will I be forgotten? You know, people sometimes will ask that question when life and death start getting closer together. It may be a question that you ask where, for some reason, life has failed you or me. Or you feel cheated by what you thought it was supposed to be, what you assumed it would be, and it didn't turn out that way. You can ask that question. You can find yourself asking that question sometimes when it seems like good is being punished and evil is being rewarded. It's not supposed to be that way. What is the point of it all? Today, as in these readings that are given to us, as we are during this month, we're getting invited to remember those who've gone before us, and the themes of resurrection begin to come to the surface. As we come to the end of our lives, what is the meaning of our life, and what is the hope that we have in the resurrection? And the readings today are giving us, pointing to some of the sources of that hope. This first reading that we hear from the Maccabees, it's the only time we really hear from this reading through the whole church year. And it's really a letter from the people of the Maccabees who are living in Jerusalem. These are Jews who have come through a very terrible time of persecution. And they're writing to their brothers and sister Jews who are living in Egypt, who are currently in the midst of a persecution for their faith. And they're writing this letter to them to encourage them. And they start telling the stories of how they endured this, and they lift up this particular story we hear today of this family, of this mother and her seven sons who were martyred for their faith. And they're telling them this story to encourage them and to have hope. Because there is a risen life that waits us. And what they're saying to them is that resurrection will justify your life. And even if what's going on in this world violates that life, steps on that life, cheats that life, destroys that life, you have an eternal significance in God that will not be taken from you. And the reason we know this is because our God is just. Resurrection will justify our life because God is a just God. And we know this because we remember. We remember when our ancestors were enslaved that God freed them. We remember all the ways that God has shown mercy to us, and we want to claim that memory here and now for you and for us. And when we remember God's justice is present. You know, there's something about Jewish prayer which is beautiful. And we heard it today in that psalm. There's a prayer of remembrance where the one who is praying is calling out to God to say, and I remember how much you loved us, how much you loved Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, how you have been with us through all of those dark times. And the prayer is, I remember, and I want to remind you, God, of that. Remember that justice, and will you remember it for me? I want to claim that memory in my life, not as a past event for them, but as a present reality. I remember your mercy, and I remember your justice. I remember your compassion, and I claim that in my life, that it will raise up in me and justify my life. Now, in the gospel reading, we see this other dynamic of resurrection that not only does it justify our eternal significance and dignity, but it also places judgment on this world and on the structures of this world that hold down that eternal significance and that eternal dignity. We have this story, it's kind of a ridiculous story that the Sadducees tell to trip up Jesus on resurrection. They don't believe it. So they come up with this kind of goofy story to try to catch him. And after they talk about this woman who was given in marriage to seven brothers, you have to know one thing about this. Now, in that world, a woman truly was given to the man. She was his property. And marriage, one of the purposes of marriage was to ensure that his name will be passed down. And so it is crucial that you have heirs, sons to pass down the name. And in a world that does not believe in a resurrection from the dead, this is the closest you can get. And so the woman becomes a means to that passing down. And so they're asking Jesus, after the seven have died, who does she belong to? And hear that literally, whose does she belong to? And Jesus says, in the age that is to come, and in the resurrection of the dead, she will not belong to anyone. You will not take a woman or give a woman in marriage as a property for their sake, for an heir. That in the next age, in the new age, we will have a dignity of our own. And there will be no more of one person having to become the means to another person's power or life. That will not be happening in the new age and in the resurrection of the dead. We'll be like the angels who live in mutual communion with God and with one another. They do not take one another as property. They do not step on one another's dignity and eternal value. It will be like that. And so the justice of heaven will begin to break into the new age, and it will be the way it is in the resurrection of the dead. And so, like Paul, we claim that new age. We are part of that new age of the resurrection of Christ that is just not what happens after death, but it begins to break into this world where we begin to be that hope of that eternal life. And where there is eternal dignity being stepped on and violated from the womb until the tomb, we want to go there and to be hope and to be a living reminder of that kingdom that is breaking into the world, to remember God's justice here or there to be a sign of that hope, to remind and encourage people of all the little ways that we can do that to one another, and in the big ways, the structures that can do that, we need to be hope and to remember, and we believe that God is present. And as we gather around this table of the Lord today, that's what we do. It is an act of remembrance. We remember how God loved us to death. And we gather to celebrate and remember because when we do, we believe he is really here. And so we continue to celebrate and to live that out so that we might be that hope. So today, let us remember God's mercy. Let us remember God's justice. And let us be that, because we trust that when we remember God, God is here. And we, as children of that new age, can bring that hope into our world now and as a calling and a hope to eternal life.